Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A recent poll found the following among business people. 78% of business majors just straight out of university said one of their top goals in life was to make a lot of money and to succeed in their careers. A separate poll among high-level executives, people who have been in the business world for many years, the question was asked, what did they most wish they could have? The most common answer was youth. The inexperienced wanted money and success. The experienced businessman wanted to press the rewind button and return to their youth and youthful energy about their career. That poll reminded me of a funny story. A senior presbyter within this diocese was talking to a group of us who are just going into their 50s and some of us into their 60s. And he warned us about the game of basketball. He said, don't do it anymore. That sport is going to charge you with bills that your body can no longer pay. The old people want youthful energy. The youth want wisdom. It'd be great if we could combine them. That's the irony. One of the definitions of the word irony is an event or result that is the opposite of their usual sense. In our New Testament lesson this morning, we see John the Baptist, who has faith in the Lord, and yet he asks concerning Jesus, are you the promised one, or should we expect someone else? In fact, the question asked in this passage is an ironic question. In our gospel text, I see two ironic questions, actually. The first one, John asked concerning Jesus, and the second one, Jesus asked about John. So first of all, the question which John asks about Jesus through his disciples, are you the one who is to come? Why did John ask this question? This is a hard question to consider, but if for a moment we engage in some thoughtful consideration of this question, it may not be hard to imagine why John is questioning whether Jesus is the Messiah. John really had to know the answer to this question. He had labored long and hard, and he wanted to know if Jesus was the one he had labored for. After all, John, at some point in his ministry, not only speaks about the coming of Messiah, but in particular, he had pointed to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How then can John, the same person, be asking the question, are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for someone else? This is certainly an ironic question, given John's earlier identification of Jesus as Messiah. We're not told specifically why John was undergoing doubts about Jesus as Messiah. One possible explanation is that John was in prison and perhaps in solitary confinement. It's not hard to imagine what has been documented about the psychological impact of being in solitary confinement. Two examples that come to my mind are senators who were POWs during the Vietnam War, and they were Senator John McCain and Senator Jeremiah Denton. Both were POWs for several years, and I read the biographies of both of these men, which spoke about the psychological pressure of being a POW for that length of time and being most of the time in solitary confinement. What normally you and I would never give a second thought to, we would under the duress of being a prisoner, which is exactly what John was. We would ordinarily not doubt the love of a trusted one or one of religious faith, But be by yourself for days, weeks, and months at a time, and that can cause one to come apart at the seams psychologically and mentally and doubt things you would normally not doubt. This same pressure could have caused John the Baptist's faith to become weak and vulnerably and understandably so. If this is the case, the Lord had mercy on John and reassured him through his disciples and friends that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. Could we want John to be have such a man of heroic courage that he never doubted and deny that he had clay feet and had doubts at the end of his life? The question, in fact, shows the humanity of John and the frailty of his trust in Christ as Messiah when under extreme pressure. Let us not condemn the John the Baptist for the question, but give thanks to God that he went to the right source. He asked Jesus through his disciples. He doesn't want to give away his confidence in Christ, but he has a faith-seeking understanding of who is Jesus and what his mission was and is. Just because John was having doubts and needed reassurance, our Lord did not upbraid him for asking this question. While there is a big difference between a skeptical question or a question born from faith seeking understanding, our Lord knew the difference between the two and did not scold or come down heavily on John for asking this question. Instead, he gives him signs from which people can draw assurance of who he was. In Matthew 11, 4 through 6, he said, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." These signs are predicted as signs of Messiah, and they were prophesied in Isaiah 35 and 61. These miraculous signs that Jesus did in his public ministry met the purpose of ensuring that Jesus' claims were true and that trusting in him was not a leap in the dark, but based on the solid evidence of what he had done in his ministry. That brings me to my second question asked in this passage. And our Lord asks a question then about John to the people who heard him. "Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing." This first phrase, "Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind?" could mean either two things, something that is very common in that era, like reeds blown by the river Jordan. Or metaphorically, it could refer to someone without a backbone whose opinion sways like the reed from side to side, depending on who asked the question. Obviously, the crowds did not go out to the desert to see someone very ordinary, but in fact, somebody who would stand their ground, a prophet of God. The crowds did not go out to see a people pleaser, someone who tickled people's fancy. For John's message was a message of repentance and renewal. And that is not something that strokes people's pride and fancy. "What did you go out to see?" Jesus asked. They did not go out in the desert to see a man dressed in fine, soft clothing. Both John's dress, his diet, and his message were not for people of prestige, power, and opulence. Well then, did they go out to see someone very extraordinary, like one of the king's attendants who was luxuriously dressed and who would tell the king what he wanted to hear? John was certainly not someone who would do that. In fact, he told of Herod eventually what would cost him his life. After Jesus poses the two questions, he comes to the crux of the matter. Jesus calls John a prophet, And more than that, more than any just ordinary prophet, but the one who would prepare the way for Messiah. John is called John the Baptist because he baptized many people as a preparation for Messiah, and that they would repent of their sins and look for the coming Messiah. But John is also called a forerunner. A forerunner in ancient times preceded the arrival of the king and told the city or community that the king was approaching. John, as the forerunner, was prophesied of in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you will seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. In Luke chapter 1, verse 76, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied these words about the birth of his son. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways. The words of Jesus about John give us clarity in how we should live. Jesus calls John a prophet, and we are to respond to the message of John, the last prophet of the Old Testament, as we follow God's wisdom in our mind, as we follow God's truth on our lips, and God's gift of courage as we seek to follow God's will, no matter what the cost to us personally, just as John did. We're also to trust and believe in the one whom John identified as the Lamb of God, who would suffer and die for our sins. As we respond to the message of John the Baptist, we must first learn God's wisdom. We do this by not just doing what we are doing now, coming to church on a regular basis to listen to the Word of God and understand what it means in your life. We have to reflect on what we have learned about the Word of God and, more importantly, to do it. At this special time of the year, as we remember the coming of Christ as the incarnate Lord, fully God and fully man, we are called upon to repent of our sins and promise to reform our lives according to God's will. That is the hardest part of all. Each of us is called in his own way to live in accordance with the message of the prophets. But it is only with God's strength that we are able to do so. It is only with God's strength, for example, that we do this common Christian duty to forgive others even as Christ has forgiven us. Think for a moment of John the Baptist and what a hard struggle he had in forgiving Herod, who imprisoned him and eventually executed him. And for what John the Baptist spoke the truth of the Word of God to Herod. And yet this is what we are called to do, to forgive someone without exception and without calculation. Even as we have heard in previously in past readings, we are to forgive those who sin against us 70 times 7. And if we answer that call, we find a peace beyond understanding, a peace that comes from replacing the anger in our hearts with the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, who loved us with an everlasting love and died and suffered for our sins. And so may we hear the message of John the Baptist, who pointed to Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you chose John the Baptist to prepare the way for the coming of your Son. Grant us grace that we may follow the prophet's message in our own day by learning your wisdom with our minds, speaking your truth with our lips, and to be a people who practice godly courage as we seek to do what is right before you. This we ask through through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.